Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you, Lord, for your compassions toward us. Thank you for making all things to work together for our good. Thank you for enforcing your will to happen in our lives and situations. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for your peace and joy that fills our hearts. Thank you for your provisions in our lives. Thank you for your interventions. Thank you for destroying the works of darkness that were formed against us. Thank you, Lord, for honoring and glorifying your name in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for teaching us your ways. Thank you for teaching us your righteousness. Thank you for showing us the truth that is able to set us free. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your dominion that is in our lives. We thank you for your victories in our lives. Thank you for subduing Satan under our feet. Thank you for subduing serpents and scorpions and all the works of darkness under our feet. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful, Lord, for all that you have taught us through these Bible study classes we have been having for some time now. We thank you for the spiritual growth that have happened to us through these teachings. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that as we will be having this class again this evening, O Lord, minister to our hearts. Teach us all that we need to know in the name of Jesus. From the topic we will be looking at this evening, O Lord, inspire everyone that will listen in the name of Jesus. Have your way in our midst, O Lord. Thank you, faithful Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. I believe my voice is loud enough for you to hear. Yeah, because I'm not using the microphone. Yeah, so make sure you put it loud on your phone so that you can hear my voice clearly. Now, we're going to be looking at the last topic. The last topic in the teaching series we have been discussing for some time now. And you know the title of the broad topic that we have been looking at for some time now. The title was The Christian's Relationship to Society. The Christian's Relationship to Society. That was the broad topic or the general title. And we discussed a lot of topics. We discussed on a lot of topics under this particular broad topic or title. Yeah, there's no time for me to go over all those topics we discussed. But if you have been actively participating since when we started that topic, you will be fully aware of all those topics, and you will have them in your mind even right now. Yeah, I believe you did not forget all those points and scripture verses and topics that we discussed. If you think you have forgotten some, go and check your journal or wherever you jot these teachings. You're supposed to have a journal or a small book. You jot all these things we discuss on this platform during Bible study classes. Yeah, you should have a small book. You write the points in and the Bible verses. Yeah, so that you can easily go over them from the beginning, yeah, to the end. Yeah, like now that we are going to be ending a particular topic today, which we started some weeks ago, like, or maybe months. I can't remember when exactly we started to talk on this particular broad topic. Yeah, so like now that we're about to end the topic, it is advisable that you do a personal revision. Yeah, it is advisable that you go back to the first topic we discussed under this title that says The Christian's Relationship to Society. The Christian's Relationship to Society. So you should be able to go back to the first subject or topic or point that we discussed, which maybe that's some months ago. I don't know how many months. And then you should be able to trace trace all the topics to this particular one we are going to be discussing today, even right now. Yeah, so that is how students learn. Yeah, and you are all students in the school of the Spirit, in the school of the Holy Spirit. Even as I am also a student in the school of the Holy Spirit. So you should have a small book or journal that you take records of these things. Yeah, because we're going to be moving to a new topic next Tuesday. We'll be moving to a brand new topic or a brand new title or theme or broad topic, which we also have many topics under it. Yeah, I pray that the Holy Spirit help you to be serious about the things that you listen to during our Bible study classes. In Jesus' name. So today we are going to be looking at a topic that says, God rules. God rules the government of men. God rules the government of men. Yeah, God rules. You can say God rules over the government of men. Or you can say God rules the government of men. Now we know that the government of this world is the government of men. I believe you know that if you enter the government offices, you're not going to meet animals there, you're going to meet human beings there. Yeah, maybe you enter the presidential offices or office, or you enter the governor's office or the office of the prime minister, you will meet human beings there, not animals and not spirits. Physically, you're going to see human beings there. So the government of this world is also known as the government of men. The government of men. So, which means men are ruling themselves. Human beings rules themselves. Yeah. So that is what we want to look at tonight or this evening. The topic once again says, God rules the government of men. Let us look at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 15 to 16. Proverbs 8, 15 to 16. By me, kings reign, and princes decree justice. by me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Now this Proverbs chapter 8, if you read all the verses in this chapter, is all talking about wisdom. Yeah, and we know that Jesus Christ is wisdom. I believe you know that Jesus Christ himself is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Let us look at where that is. Jesus himself is the wisdom of God. Let us read 1 Corinthians. I want to show you where the Bible calls Jesus the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. So now let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8, 15 to 16. Now this is wisdom talking. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. Verse 16, by me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. So you can see that God rules the government of men. Whether they agree or not, whether the people in the government believe or not, whether they accept or not, God rules the government of men. Even when they think God is actually the one controlling them, even when they think that they are functioning against God, even when they think they are attacking God through their that are contrary to the will of God, contrary to the word of God, they still need to know that they are not the one in charge. God is the one in charge. Yeah, God is the one controlling them. Yeah, so many times God do this control indirectly. Yeah, he doesn't do it directly. He does it indirectly. So unknown to them, they are fulfilling the will of God. Unknown to them. Yeah, unknown to them, they are carrying out the mind of God. Yeah, so whether these people in government agree or not, they are not the one ruling the nations. It is God that is ruling the nations of the earth. God is the one in charge. Yeah, though there are things that they wouldn't have done if they were born again. I mean, if those government leaders were born again, and there are things they wouldn't have done if they had a real relationship with God. Yeah, but even now that, you know, some of them appears to be sinners and unbelievers, God is still operating through them. God is still controlling them. Yeah, so we can see in this place, it says, by me, kings reign and princes decree justice. Yeah, so even when they thought they love evil, they thought they do not belong to God, and they don't want to have anything to do with God, somehow they still give decrees about justice. Yeah, and they still do what God wants somehow. Yeah. Verse 16 says, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, is the judges of the earth. He is ruling through them, is ruling the earth. You know, when Jesus was on earth doing his ministry, at the point they wanted to make him king. Yeah, they wanted to make Jesus king. I don't know if you have read that place in your Bible. But he refused. Let me look for that place. Yeah. He ran away. He's already in fact, he's the King of Kings And a nation is already ruling all of the head. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 4. John chapter 6. Then those men, John and 15, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed himself alone. Yeah, you can see the people saw the miracle Jesus did. Yeah, they saw how he fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. They saw how he multiplied 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. 2 fishes. And he was able to perform a miracle that those food items to the point that they were enough, as excluding women and children. Suddenly began to increase in number. They began to increase in number. Yeah, they did not stop increasing. Yeah. There were 500,000. Let's say, for instance, there were 500,000 people in that place that day. Jesus would feed them all. Yeah, Jesus would feed them all with those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Why? Because the power of God that was there was going to feed everyone that was there. So it's not about the number of, but the fact that God's power was with Jesus to feed as many that were present in that place. And how did we know? If you read the earlier verses in that John chapter 6, before verse 14 and 15, you're going to see that after the people have eaten and have been filled, there were still 12 baskets filled up with the fragments that remained. Jesus was going to continue to feed the people, even if there are millions of them. Yeah. So when they saw that kind of miracle. Immediately they wanted to make him a king. They were discussing it among themselves, and Jesus knew it. You know, he is God. Yeah, in form of man. So he knows what people are thinking in their hearts, even before. So he already discerned it, that they were going to take him by force to make him king. So he withdrew to the mountain. Now, my point is that Jesus knew who he was. Yeah, even at that time, he knows that he is already a king. Yeah, and they don't have to make him one. And he knows that the way he rules is far greater than the way any earthly king rules. Yeah, because Jesus is ruling through every other kings and judges of every country or nation of the earth. Yeah, so Jesus rules through them. Yeah, or maybe I should say Jesus chose to rule through the kings and rulers of the world, than to allow people to make him a king of just one nation. Yeah, I don't know if I get my point. He preferred to rule through the kings and judges of the earth than for some people to make him a king of just one particular country or nation. Yeah, so he knows who he is. He wasn't confused about his identity and about his greatness. Yeah, and of course he knows that the time for him to rule as a king in Israel has not yet come. Yeah, because he is also the king of Israel. But the time that he would do that ruling physically has not yet come. The time that he will be enthroned and will rule from Israel, from Jerusalem, that time has not yet come. So he withdrew to the mountain. Yeah, so this confirms that Jesus rules the government of men. Yeah, because Jesus is also God. Now let us look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 32 and verse 35. Daniel chapter 4, verse 32 and verse 35. I believe you are opening your Bibles. Daniel chapter 4, verse 32. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Yeah, this was God's judgment on Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, God drove him out of his palace, out of his throne, into the wilderness, into the bush, into the forest, to eat grass, to dwell among wild animals. Yeah, and God allowed him to suffer this punishment for seven good years. Yeah, and the Bible says God did this to Nebuchadnezzar so that he can know and agree that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And we know what Nebuchadnezzar did that led to this punishment. He became proud. He began to exalt himself. He began to say that all the successes and victories he had gotten were by his own strength. So he failed to give glory to God. Yeah, because it was God who allowed him to have those successes and victories. Yeah, because King Nebuchadnezzar was able to conquer many nations of the world. Yeah, he was the king of Babylon. And as at that time, Babylon can be likened to the world's power. Yeah, Babylon can be likened to the world power, or the kingdom that is ruling the world. Yeah, but this man Nebuchadnezzar never gave glory to God. He thought he was able to get to that position by his own power, by his own strength, and God became angry with him and gave him this judgment. For 7 years he was living like an animal, living in the forest, eating grasses. Yeah, and the Bible said all this happened to him so that he can know, so that he can acknowledge that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Yeah, so God wants everyone to know this. Yeah. God wants everyone to know this. He wants all the government leaders to know this. He decided to use Nebuchadnezzar as an example and as a warning to all the leaders of the government of nations, whether they are princes or kings or presidents or governors or prime ministers or whatever they are, God wants them to learn from Nebuchadnezzar. That was why, as an example in the Bible, for all the rulers of the world to learn from how he dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, but I don't think the rulers of this present world are really learning from this passage in the Bible. I'm not sure. I don't think they are learning, because many of them are so boastful, they are so proud, and they don't even fear God. Yeah. The Bible says the Most High ruleth. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. But there are leaders today, government leaders, who don't believe this thing. They don't believe, they don't even care how God feels about their lives and the way they are governing the people. Yeah, so I pity those leaders, because God is going to show them something. Just the way he dealt with Nebuchadnezzar, there's no doubt that God will deal with those leaders. There's no doubt that he will judge them without mercy. Yeah, any government leader that did not acknowledge God and humble him or herself and surrender to the will of God, to the move of God, and to the propagation of the gospel on earth. So any leader that is against the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ on earth dealt with. Dealt with or judged. Let us look at another scripture verses. Open your Bible . 19. I'm going to read verse 10, John chapter 19, verse 10 and verse 11. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou, knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Verse 11. Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, He that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Yeah, you can see that. Maybe I should read it from New Living Translation, John chapter 19, verse 10 and 11. John 19, I'm going to read verse 10 and 11. I'm reading from New Living Translation. Why don't you talk to me? Pilate demanded. Yeah, because earlier in verse 9, maybe I should read verse 9 so you can understand. Let me read from verse 9. He took Jesus back into the headquarters again and asked him, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave no answer. Verse 10. "Why don't you talk to me?" Pilate demanded. "Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or crucify you?" Verse 11. Now, it was at this point that Jesus responded to him. Because Jesus refused to talk. Verse 11. Then Jesus said, "You would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above." So the one who handed me over to you as the greater sin. Now, what Jesus was saying in that place is that whatever power Pilate thought he had over anybody as at that time was given to him by God. Yeah, so that was why Jesus looked at him and said, "If not that God gave you power over me, you would have no power at all over me." Yeah, because he is too small to have any power over Jesus. Yeah, how can a creature have power over the Creator? Is not possible. Yeah, but Jesus told him that it is because God have gave him that power. Or maybe we should say because he gave him that power, that is Jesus allowed him to do that. Yeah, that was why he could even do anything of such at all. Yeah, so even when it seems like the people in power are misusing the power and are using it against God's purposes and God's cause on earth, we should know that God permitted them to do that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have the power to do that at all. Yeah, whenever it appears like the people in the government are doing things are doing certain things against Christians, against the Christian faith, and against the church. We should know that they are able to do that because God allowed them to do that. Otherwise, they would not be able to do that at all. Yeah. And this should teach us something as Christians. Let me show you something from the Bible. There is something you should learn from this truth we are talking about. I'm sure you have come across that place. I'm sure many of you have come across that place that says, whatever you bind on head shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on head shall be loosed in heaven. I'm sure many of you have come across that place. Yeah, it was mentioned 2 times in the Bible. The first place was Matthew 16, verse 19. Matthew 16, verse 19, when Jesus was talking to Apostle Peter, Matthew 16, verse 19, he said, he will give unto him the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever he shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever he shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, this was directed to Peter. Yeah, but there was another place that Jesus was saying the same thing, not only to Peter, but to every believer. Praise the Lord. He was saying it to every believer. Now, the same Matthew, let us open to that place. Matthew 18, this time around. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Matthew chapter 18. I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind shall be bound. Loose on earth shall be loosed. Verse 19. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, let me read it in New Living Translation so that you understand what this bind and loose, what it actually means. You need to understand what bind or bound means and what loose means. Yeah. I believe you are following me. So now let's look at the same place in New Living Translation. That is Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 18. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid. Now, I want you to take note of that. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Now, do you now see what bind and loosing, what it means to bind something and to lose something? Now you can see what it means. In fact, this Bible translation also say that the word forbid also means to lock something, to lock up something. Just the way you would put some things in the cupboard or in a locker or in a box, and then you lock up the box. Yeah, that's another way. That's another word for forbid or bind. Yeah. Verse 19 says, I also tell you this. If two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Now, what I want you to learn here is that Christians have a higher power than the government, but many times we don't use that power. You and I, we have a higher power than the government, and that is why many people in the government who have this understanding, they respect Christians a lot. Yeah, many people in the government who have this understanding, they respect men of God. I mean, people in the government who are not Christians, but they respect Christians and they respect men of God. Why? Because they know that men of God and Christians have higher power than they have. Some of them know that fact. Yeah, some of the world rulers, they know this fact. But it's unfortunate that many Christians don't know this truth. Or maybe some of you here don't even know that you have a higher power over the government. Or you have a higher power than the power the government have. I don't know if you believe that. Yeah, you can see in that place, Jesus said, whatever you forbid, maybe I should read it again. I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Do you know what that means? It means if you say, I don't want this to happen here on earth, heaven will stamp it. Heaven will approve it. Heaven will authorize it. And once heaven authorizes anything, forget it. That thing cannot be reversed. Anything that have been authorized from above cannot be reversed, cannot be undone. It remains permanent. That was why Jesus was telling that man, Pilate. He was telling him that you are able to have me arrested and you'll be able to crucify me because God has given you that power. Yeah. So anything that have been authorized from heaven cannot be reversed. Cannot be reversed. Yeah. So that is why I as a person, I don't try to beg people to help me. or I don't like to keep reminding people to help me or to support. I know one thing for sure, that if that those people help me, those people will never be able to prevent them. They will never be able to stop themselves from helping me. It will be too impossible and too difficult for them. Yeah, even if they try to, at a point they will lose their peace. Yeah, because they will have to do it, because it has been authorized from heaven. So once something has been authorized from heaven, that thing has come to stay, whether anybody likes it or not. I believe you are getting my point. Yeah, so we Christians don't know how to use this power. Maybe I should say we don't have faith. Because if we do, we will be the one controlling the world. Yeah, Christians are not using this power because they are so full of unbelief and fear and doubt. Yeah. It says, whatsoever we forbid on earth, that it will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you bind. So you can bind anything. Maybe you feel like a witchcraft spirit is disturbing you. You can just bind that spirit and say, you this spirit, I bind you today. You shall no longer function in my life, in my house, in my environment. And that is it. The moment you speak like that, heaven authorizes. And whenever that spirit is trying to come again, the spirit will lose. I don't know how to put it. When you are trying to do something that is against what has been authorized, usually, if, let me put it this way, is either that person that's trying to do something draw far away and run for his or her life. Or the person dies. How should I say it? Or the spirit dies. So let's say by divine authority, it has been sealed that a spirit should not enter into your house. Now, two things will happen. It's either that spirit is very wise, and as the spirit is drawing close to your house, the spirit could see the sign that I'm not supposed to enter here, and then the spirit will run. Or the spirit enters and the spirit dies immediately. Because you cannot go against the divine authority. Yeah, it's not possible. You cannot go against what have been authorized from heaven. Yeah. So if you pray and you bind something from having access to your life, heaven will bind that thing too. And once heaven binds that thing will not be able to come into your life, no matter how strong that thing is. Now you might be asking, but what of in a case where after you prayed this type of prayer, and yet the devil still came in and operated? Well, maybe you have not prayed to the point that heaven do their own binding. Yeah. That's number one. Maybe you have not prayed to that point where you can confirm in your spirit that everyone have done their own binding. Let's say you are binding a spirit from having access into your life. Yeah, there's a way you will pray to a point and you will know it that this prayer has been answered. Now, everyone have done the binding and this spirit can never enter into my life anymore. Yeah. Or number two is that there is still something in you that is giving legal ground to that spirit that you are binding. Yeah. And that's number two, is that there's still something in you that is attracting the darkness you are binding, that, you know, the darkness you are trying to lock out of your life. Yeah. So if there's still something in you that is in agreement with that darkness, you will not be able to bind such darkness from your life. So, yeah. So that's the spiritual law about binding and losing. Now, this is where I'm going. If Christians can, in unity, in one accord, with one voice, come together and pray and bind certain things and say they don't want certain things to happen in their environment, in their nations, in their cities, in their towns. If we can come together and begin to bind and say we forbid that this thing happen in this country, we forbid that this thing happen, we lock out this evil, I'm telling you, something will begin to change. Yeah, this is the power that we have that supersedes that of the government. Yeah, so we have a higher power. Now, though there are some of our requests that God might decide not to grant, which is where I'm going now. There are some of our requests that God might not grant, and He will give us reasons why He is not granting those requests. Like for instance, we know that it is injustice. Yeah, and we know that it is a crime for Jesus to be crucified. But God gave Pilate the power to do that. Yeah, so sometimes God will allow some evil to happen. Yeah, but don't tell me that all the evils that is happening in the earth today, they are all the will of God. Yeah, there are large percentage of the evils that are happening in the nations that should not happen because God never wanted them to happen. And God could not stop them from happening because Christians refuse to pray. They refuse to bind those evils. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. So now, because we have to finish this topic today, yeah, so that's why we're going to quickly look at the other scriptures left. Now, I want to talk about the fact that God has allowed the devil a certain amount of control. Yeah, even though God is the one in control of all the nations of the world, but God decided to give devil certain amount of control, though not over His own people, but over the people that will reject His own leadership. Yeah, so God have allowed the devil to have certain amount of control. Yeah, but that control does not include your own life. Yeah, but it's mainly over the unbelievers. Yeah, over those that are not in Christ. So Satan has control over their lives. Yeah, because for those of us that are born again, for those of us that are in Christ, it is Jesus that have control over our lives. Though sometimes God can allow the devil to do certain things against you, but eventually God will still give you victory over those things. Yeah, if you stick to Him, if you stick to God. So God allows temptations, trials, tribulations to happen to Christians. But don't forget what He said in His Word. He said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." So even as you go through temptations and trials and tribulations and persecution that comes from the devil, know that there is victory for you. Yeah, sooner or later, you will come out of those tribulation or persecution or trials or temptations. Yeah, so that was why I said Satan don't have any control over Christians, but Satan still have control over this world. Yeah, but he doesn't have control over Christians. Now let us look at verses that supports that. Let us look at Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 6. Luke chapter 4. Verse 5 to 6. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Verse 6. And the devil said unto him, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give him it." Verse 7 says, "If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." You can see, the devil said that he has been given power over those things, and he was telling Jesus to worship him, so that he can share those powers with him. But we know the response of Jesus, that he refused. Yeah. So Satan has been given some amount of control in this world, and God is not taking away that control. Because he is using Satan to test people. How should I say? God decided not to take the control from Satan because God is using Satan to test people. Yeah. So he wants every human being to be able to choose who they will serve, whether him or Satan. Yeah, so that is the main reason why God still allows Satan to have certain control. Yeah, because he wants to give people that chance to choose who they will serve. Yeah. And we know that majority are choosing Satan. So which means that if anybody choose to serve Jesus, if anybody choose to serve God, yeah, God is going to destroy the control of Satan over that person's life. Yeah, God is going to destroy the power of Satan over that person's life. But if anyone decides not to, yeah, if anyone decides not to serve God, not to serve Jesus, God will not withdraw the control of Satan over that person's life. Because I've seen people say things like, I don't believe there is God. You know, I've seen people talk like there is no God, because if there is God, why would God allow this to happen? Why would God allow Satan to kill my child? Why would God allow Satan to kill my parents? Yeah, why will God allow Satan, Satan to punish the innocent? Yeah, but they don't know that God doesn't interfere God doesn't interfere in the lives of people that are not in His kingdom. Yeah, God doesn't interfere in the lives of people that have chosen to serve Satan. Yeah, so God just leave them and allow Satan to deal with them. Yeah, but if those people come out of their slavery to Satan, slavery to sin, then God will be able to protect them and fight for them, and God will be able to destroy the power of Satan over their souls. Yeah. Yeah. So if anyone will not surrender to Jesus and serve Jesus from a true heart, God will still allow Satan to oppress that person, to oppress such person, and to destroy such person's life. Yeah, so we should know that. Yeah, like myself, I do not expect anything good from anyone that is not genuinely born again. I do not expect anything good from such people. And I don't expect that such people will live long. Yeah, I don't expect that. Yeah, because they are not under God's protection. Yeah. So let us look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of men, of them which believe not. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Yeah, so you can see that Satan is the God of this world, and is working in the lives of those that don't believe in Jesus. Yeah, he's blindfolding them. is putting them in darkness, you know, so that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ will not be able to shine unto them and deliver them from their bondages. Yeah, so this is the control that Satan has. So don't think that Satan can just do anything in your life now that you are saved and you are in Christ Jesus. Yeah, that can never happen. Satan cannot just do anything except you sin. Yeah, except you sin. Just as the Bible says, he that breaks the hedge, the serpent will bite. So if you break the hedge of protection of God over your life through sin, then Satan can touch you. But if you don't go into sin, there's no way Satan can operate in your life. It's impossible. Very impossible. Yeah. Other things that can allow Satan to operate is if you are a carnal Christian, if you are always dwelling in the flesh, you don't pray, you don't die to self, you don't fast, you don't meditate on the Bible, you don't study the Bible, yeah, you don't draw closer to God. Yeah, so all of those things will give power to Satan, because whenever you are in the flesh, you are in Satan's territory. But when you are in the spirit, you are in Jesus' territory. Yeah. So, except you don't do your daily exercises as a Christian, your daily assignment, your daily duty as a Christian, that is when Satan can touch your life. Yeah, but if you do everything that you know is required of you as a child of God, there's no way Satan can do anything to you or control you or come near you. Yeah, it's not possible. Yeah, it's not possible. So we are going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on the Telegram group platform. Shall we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we worship and bless your name. We praise and adore you, for you are a great God. You are a mighty God. You reign from everlasting to everlasting. You reign over the nations of the earth. You reign in heaven. You reign in the earth. You reign under the earth. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Lord. And we say thank you for showing us how you rule over the government of men, and how we can, through faith and prayers, enforce your government, your own government over the government of this world. Thank you for showing us that we can forbid things from happening in this earth, and it shall be so. And we can permit things things that should not happen on earth at all, we can permit them to happen, and it will be so as well. Thank you for showing us all these things. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here to magnify you in their hearts, in their souls, and in their lives continually in Jesus' name. I ask that you teach everyone here to exalt you and your own government over the governments of men in Jesus' name. I pray that you teach everyone here to do intercessory prayers for their nations and for people and families in their countries, so that the will of God can prevail in the earth. Father, teach everyone these things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know that you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.